scripture in the 8th chapter of Romans. I am happy to be among you. I've been richly blessed by the fellowship and by the preaching of the Word of God. I've been blessed and have enjoyed the messages, the singing, the young lady that sung, I believe she is gone, but the lady that sung this morning, the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. That's the theme song that I have on a radio broadcast, and I told her at the noon hour, I said, that's been a theme song on my radio broadcast before you ever discovered America. I've had that radio broadcast since 1958, which is about 38 years, and I've been blessed by everything here. I am thinking about the time being kind of short. I thought about the story that I heard of the hen that came to talk to the rooster, and she said, now there's something that I've always wanted to do, and I know that you're not going to approve of it, but regardless of what you say, my mind's made up, and I'm going to do it. And he said, well, what is this that you've always wanted to do that I'm not going to approve of that you're going to do? And she said, I've always wanted to lay an egg on the freeway. He said, okay, if that's what you are going to do, I would just say this. Lay it right on the line and do it quick. So that's what I'll try to do. And I think you would appreciate that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for every blessing. Thank You for this moment in time that You are giving unto us. Thank You for Your precious Word, for the work of the blessed Holy Spirit. Thank You for Jesus, our Savior, and the way that His name has been exalted here by the preaching of these brethren today and last night. I thank You for this church and pastor, and for their ministry here and across the world. Use us to Your glory. Forgive me of my sins. And make me strong in You. Help me to know Your will and to do it and for the right reasons. In Jesus' name and for His sake I pray. Amen. Irresistible grace or the effectual call, I think, are the same thing. According to this verse of Scripture and throughout the Word of God, but this verse of Scripture tells us that those who love God are defined here as them who are the called. Now, you cannot love God until you're born of the Spirit of God. And God calls with this effectual call irresistibly. The next verse, or verse 30 there, says, whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He called, them, the same ones, He also justified. So this call is more than just an invitation. This call is a divine, and I thought about these three words, divine, elective, effective call. It is a divine call. It's something more than just what you hear from the preaching of the Word of God. It is hearing from Him who is divine. It is a divine call. It is an elective call. He calls whom He will. So it is an elective call, and then it is an effective call. Those that He calls with this call, they come. And you'll notice in our text verse that this call is according to His purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9 said, "Who He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling." So He's called us with an holy calling, and it's not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So this effectual call is a call that was included in the eternal purpose of God for the ones that He had given to our Lord Jesus Christ. So He saved us and called us with a call that was purposed for us individually. And you know, I like to take the Word of God literally and personally, and how it thrills my heart and humbles me and yet lifts me up when I think about this from a personal standpoint. Because the effectual call was included in the eternal purpose of God, and as was sung here today, He included me in that eternal purpose and included all of those that He had chosen and given unto Christ in this call. He included us. So I want to just briefly touch on these three things about irresistible grace or the effectual call. That is the nature of it, the necessity of it, and then some of the evidences of it. Now, the nature of it is that it is effectual. And that just simply means that it produces the intended effect. It's effectual, it's irresistible, and that's why that the Scripture says, "Whom He called, them He also justified." So the rich man in hell and others that die without Christ, they were never called, because those that He calls, them He also justifies. It is an internal call. It is the Spirit of God compelling that one to come. Not by forcing the will, as some of our enemies and the enemies of this truth will tell people that we preach that God forces people to come against their will, and that He drags them, as it were, against their will. But it's not that He forces them to come against their will. You see, we're talking about an all-powerful God that does whatsoever that He will. And He wills that those He chose and gave to Christ, and Christ came and died for, that they come to Him and be given of Him eternal, everlasting life. And so as the psalmist said in Psalm 110 and verse 3, that He makes His people willing in the day of His power. And so when He works that work of grace upon a person's heart, then they willingly and gladly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. How happy that I was when I saw that Jesus Christ had died for my sins, and it was the effectual work of the Spirit of God that enabled me to see that. And so He calls with an effectual call. He does that which He had intended to do for us individually. That 65th division of Psalms in verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts." Now there in that one verse of Scripture, you have the doctrine of election and irresistible grace. "Blessed is the man that whom Thou choosest," there's election, "and causest," there's irresistible grace, "to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts." So the effectual call then is something that is over and beyond the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call of God to His sheep. He said in John 10:27-28, "And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 10:16, He said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So it is a miraculous and invincible call, and it is a call from darkness unto light. That's what the call does for us. Now, why irresistible grace or the effectual call is necessary? You heard this well covered in the message on depravity, but this is in my message too. And so this is what I came to preach. Man is in such a state of depravity that he will not come to Christ of his own will and volition. Now listen, if the sinner loved God, and if he understood the gospel, then he would respond. But the Bible says in Romans 3:11 that there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So there's man's problem. You see, he must undergo a change. Romans 5:5 says that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. And no man is going to love God until the love of God is shed abroad in his heart by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot love God until there comes this change. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom of God. So you see, he must undergo a change of heart and mind. And this change, or this birth, is not self-wrought. It is God-wrought. John 1:13 says that, "Born not of the of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." So the Word only is not sufficient for the conversion of a lost soul. The gospel is suitable and sufficient as a means that God is pleased to use of conversion. But there must be an agent to effect it. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Listen now. And in much assurance. And I stand here to tell you this evening that when a person is saved, when they are born of the Spirit of God, you don't have to convince them that they are saved. They are the one that then has the information, inside information, and they can tell you that they're saved. I've been with preachers and they'd testify to someone and maybe take them down the Roman road and then stand there and try to convince that person that they were saved. I never spend any time trying to convince someone that they're saved. You convince me that you are saved. Because that's what that scripture is saying to me, that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And so if it comes in that way, in the power of the Holy Ghost, it gives much assurance. That Roman road evangelism won't do that. But I've heard it used, I've seen it used on men in prison, and they are hopelessly lost, and the preacher stands there and tries to convince them that they're saved because they did what he said for them to do. And that will not bring regeneration. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So irresistible grace, or the effectual call, is necessary because of the inability of man. We're talking about people that are dead, and I mean graveyard dead, in trespasses and in sin. And there are no degrees in death. It's not how dead is he. He's just dead. Dead in trespasses and in sin. And the scripture says, wherefore, is by one man Adam's sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Christ all die. You know, John 6:44, the scripture declares that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I understand that the Greek word for draw there in this verse means to draw as in a net. The word translated can there means is able. So it is saying to me that no man is able to come to Christ unless drawn like a net by the Father. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, in Romans chapter 8, if you backed up there a little bit to verse 7 and 8, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So salvation then involves a drastic change. And if your religion didn't change you, you better change your religion because you're not saved if it didn't bring a change within you. Unregenerate man is incapable of bringing about this change. Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard change his spot? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. In other words, if the Ethiopian could, of his own will and volition, change his skin, then we might be able to believe that one with an unregenerate nature might initiate a change in his nature. Or if the leopard could of his own will and volition change his spots, then we might be able to believe that an unregenerate man might be able to change his nature. Or if a man who is physically dead could will for himself physical life, then we might be able to believe that one who is spiritually dead might be able himself to will himself spiritually alive. But the Bible says in Romans 9:16, that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. You know, another reason that irresistible grace or the effectual call is necessary is because of the condition of the heart of natural man. Jeremiah 17:9 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Acts 16:14 says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, had heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So God must open the heart of everyone that He saves. Now let me just quickly give you some emphatic evidences of irresistible grace or the effectual call. My sheep, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. So the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And they come to him, and he gives them eternal life. Those who are not his sheep are not effectually called, and they do not believe on him. John 10:26 says, you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. So we, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a calling and election of which we can be sure. Dead, depraved, alienated sinners will not and cannot come to Christ unless they are irresistibly called. And upon this irresistible, effectual, irrevocable, faithful call rests the success, listen to me, of God's eternal purpose in grace. So thank God for irresistible, effectual call unto salvation. May the Lord bless you.